Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you.
Saints, beware of the buzzwords and the buzz terms used by modern day wolves. I'm going to go over a few of those in hopefully this short segment and see if you recognize any of these buzzwords and terms modern wolves use to manipulate and exploit the undiscerning or the ungrounded. How about this one here? God is positioning you. Or God is repositioning you, or, you know, you recreate yourself, you know, this idea that, you know, things haven't been popping for you lately. You're not making $1 million every month and you don't have that huge house and the quote unquote success that, you know, you've envisioned and for the reason why you gave to this ministry, thinking that God was going to prosper you, you know. So they have to keep their prey, if you will, P-R-E-Y, those that are deceived under those false ministries, they have to keep them strung along. Have you ever noticed that? So they have to come in and try to give them a crossless shot in the arm, if you will. So they'll say, God is repositioning you. In other words, He's arranging things. He's at work. Just have faith that He's going to, you know, cause you to all of a sudden be connected with all the right people and success. You know, their success is always spoken about in earthly, fleshly terms, which we're going to get to in a minute. But this is the cry of many false prophets. And I want to put that in your ear, beloved, for the sake of discernment. Now, you do know that the Bible teaches that we are to discern. It even uses that word in Ezekiel 44:23. And God tells us that those who are His true remnant under shepherds are going to be teaching His people how to discern. It uses that word. That means to distinguish between truth and error, between what God says and what is a fake or a counterfeit, being used in the church world by those who use feigned words, as we're going to get to that scripture in a minute, to deceive you and to string you along and to paint this picture that scripture does not paint. Jesus Christ, flashpoint, saints, Jesus Christ did not come and die to make you rich and successful in this present world and as the world defines it. God says that success and prosperity are hearing, meditating upon, and doing His word. Joshua 1:8 says, "This book of the law, the word of God, shall not depart out of your mouth, but it will remain in your mouth, and you will speak it and obey it." That's part of the success of God, if you will. "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night," speak it, meditate upon it, "that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then you shall have good success." Notice that as you speak the word, yes, the word, not a misuse of it, but just strictly the word, including the hard truths of the gospel, the cross, amen, and you meditate upon them, you let them germinate, and you mull them over, and you let them circumcise your heart, and out of that will come a life, an abiding life with and in Christ that'll bring glory to God. That's success and prosperity, and no earthly wealth is even mentioned there. In fact, we're warned over and over. Jesus said, "How hardly shall those that even have riches enter into the kingdom of God?" That is Mark 10:23-25. That's one of the buzzwords, and we're going to talk about a few others here in just a minute. God is positioning you, and man, they hype you up and stuff. Anybody else ever been under that kind of delusionment, the word of faith and the prophetic charlatans and stuff like that? But notice Paul specifically in detail exposes these wild animals, if you will. And somebody might say, "Well, brother, you calling these men animals?" Yeah, I am. And you can tell them I said it if you like, because Jesus calls them wolves. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are devouring wolves. Recently, Kenneth the Devil Copeland was again interviewed by it's a major TV program. Anyway, he got all excited when he started talking about riches in this world, but never excited about the blood of a lamb and the nail-scarred, risen Son of God from heaven, and who is at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. He didn't talk about the glory of the Almighty Lord Jesus Christ, heaven's King, but he did get all excited when he talked about in that interview, which was a candid interview. The lady caught him getting into his vehicle and had about a 15-minute conversation with him. It's on the website, safeguardyoursoul.com. I think it's from Inside Edition. So he got happy about the earthly things, but not about the things of eternal value and in heavenly places. Notice Paul says, for many, not a few, many, that's a word you'll want to keep an eye out for in the Bible, many and few, many scriptures contrast using these two terms. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping. Now, some people think I'm a nutcase because I'm always trying to warn people to protect them, but that's the apostolic way. And here we see Paul is actually weeping for the Philippian believers, weeping. In fact, in Acts 20 through 32, Paul actually says that he cried with tears, literally. Bible adds with tears, meaning that's literal, for 3 years, day and night, knowing that grievous wolves were going to enter in among the Ephesian believers and seek to devour and mislead them through their false leaders. False leaders have always been the danger of the church, beloved, and an unrepentant people who heap to themselves teachers because they have itching ears. In other words, they're unrepentant. Their hearts are not circumcised in the eyes of the Lord. Isaiah 9:16 says, the leaders, notice who? The leaders of this people cause them to err, and those that are misled by them are going to be destroyed. Isaiah 9:16. Now, we have two books specifically on deceivers and false prophets among us. That is actually one of the titles. You can see that one on Amazon in Kindle and print, and also on safeguardyoursoul.com. If you go to the store page, it's in PDF form, print, and, well, those two. Okay. Anyway, deceivers and false prophets among us, and also predators in our pulpits. So Paul says, for many walk, Philippians 3:18-19, of whom I've told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. They're not preaching Christ. They're not preaching the cross or the crucified life. Jesus taught that in order to follow him, you must deny yourself, not embellish or esteem yourself or try to get yourself rich. No, you got to die the death. And that's the only type of people who are really following Christ, which makes up a very small percentage of those who claim to be following Christ and claim to be saved. But if you're going to follow Jesus, then you're going to be with him eternally. You're going to have to do things his way. He said, deny yourself if you're going to follow me. If you must do that, you must deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow him. That's the crucified life. But somebody says, what does that really mean? Well, you're just going to have to ask God, read his word, and learn the crucified life, because it's all over his word. I'm not going to go into that too much right now, but we do have several books on that. One of them's called 31 Cross Prayers. Real thin book, a cross prayer for every day of the month. Also, I Die Daily and Raised Up. Again, safeguardyoursoul.com and Amazon. Okay, so these are enemies of the cross of Christ whose end is destruction. Where are false prophets going to go in eternity? They're going to hell. They're going to hell. You know, a lot of people try to use human sentiment, reason. Oh, well, they're just deceived. Well, they're only deceived because they don't turn their hearts to the Lord. They're willingly deceived. They don't want to see the light. These are men that love darkness rather than life, and their deeds are evil. John 3:19-21. They don't love the truth. They don't possess with a love of the truth, and therefore God has turned them over to God has strong delusion so that they may believe a lie. 2 Thessalonians 2:9-12. So their end is destruction, Paul said. They're going to eternal damnation irrevocably. Whose God, notice this, is their belly or their carnal appetites, and whose glory is in their shame. In other words, they glory in things they ought to be ashamed of, boasting of their earthly wealth, coveting greedily after riches of this world, And notice the last part of this. Who mind earthly things. They mind what? Earthly things, not heavenly things. That's these wolves that are selling you on this false gospel, which is another gospel, and they are accursed, Galatians 1:6-9, with all these buzz terms. Verse 20, Philippians 3, for our conversation or our way of life, our focus, is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that is the heart posture of the true disciple of Jesus. It's heavenly, not earthly. Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, a resurrected body like Christ's, the firstborn of the dead, according to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things. Okay, so again, the context of God is positioning you, God is repositioning you for success, is all based on earthly things. Remember, Jesus said, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, but where moth and rust does corrupt, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust nor corrupt nor thieves break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You see, these men, their hearts are all over the earthly treasures, and they're using the name of the Lord in vain to get what their evil, unrepentant, depraved hearts want in this temporal, fleeting life, and they will suffer the vengeance of eternal fire, Jude verse 7. Notice that modern wolves use these buzz terms to trick the ungrounded, Notice, again, positioning or repositioning yourself. They're going to talk about that only in terms of earthly, quote-unquote, success. But they're never going to mention what Paul, the apostle of Christ, said in Ephesians 2:6, and hath raised us up together and made us, think position, saints, made us sit together, that's our position in Christ, in heavenly places in Christ. Amen? That's the positioning of those that are truly in Christ. They aren't chasing the fleeting treasures of this earthly life, which have wings and they fly away. Proverbs 23, verse 4 and 5. You see, because Jesus Christ, saints, is seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven, having perfectly accomplished redemption by the shedding of his precious, perfect blood and sacrifice, that means we, his beloved, blood-bought people, are in him and also positionally seated together with him in eternal glory. Amen. With the Father and with Christ. Hallelujah. This is one of the most important and beautiful revelations of the New Testament. Notice Ephesians 1:20, which he wrought, the Father wrought in Christ, redemption, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand, the place of power, in heavenly places. Amen. Your position, beloved, in Christ is the position. Talk about position. You don't need repositioning. You're already positioned. You're already seated together in heavenly places in Christ. Your position in Christ is the position that anchors your soul in heavenly places in Christ. Therefore, you need no other position or positioning or repositioning. Amen. See, we have spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Amen. Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual, not physical or material, blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Wolves, you see, contrary, are known by their attributing the blessings of God, quote unquote, only to physical, monetary, and material things. Have you noticed? I don't know about you. I've been deceived by them. In fact, started preaching that garbage. Now, please forgive me, saints. I've repented. That was a few decades ago. You can view my little video on the website, safeguardyoursoul.com, called Confessions of a False Teacher. Just put in the word confessions in the search box. Should be top right on the website, safeguardyoursoul.com, and it'll come up. So, again, false prophets are known in that they say gain is godliness. We're going to get to that verse in just a minute. These wolves are known because they attribute the blessings of God to earthly things, physical, monetary, getting a house, put the picture on your refrigerator, claim it, dance around 7 times in your kitchen every morning, as if God is some bellboy that, some slot machine or something. They attribute everything as far as the blessings of God to material things. They reduce everything to the earthly. completely denying Christ and shunning the heavenly blessing of Christ seated at the right hand of the Father. We just read that, how they mind earthly things in Philippians chapter 3, verse 18 through 21. To the contrary, in Colossians, this is a great way to wake up every day, saints. I love this. Great way to wake up. You want to change life, change by God for the glory of God? Wake up with this verse, this passage. Colossians 3, 1 through 4. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are where? Above, as opposed to the earthly, amen? Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things, here it is again, above, not on the things on the earth, or not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. I've got good news for you, saints. You're dead. Your life is over. You are saying with Jesus today, not my will, but thine be done. You are set free. You are doornail dead. Your life and all the misery and shame and guilt that came with living without Christ is over, because you are dead and buried, and your life is hid with Christ in God. The enemy can't find you if you're hid with Christ in God. There is no safer place. Verse 4, for when Christ, who is our life, amen, Jesus is our life, shall appear, amen, then shall ye, who's ye? Those who have their affection set on things above. Also, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Notice the condition here. Don't ever miss the conditions of Scripture. See, some people preach, most people preaching, don't even mention conditions. They assume and they perpetrate, promulgate this absolute diabolical heresy that if you had one moment of faith in Christ and were truly born again, you're automatically going to heaven. Lie from hell. You better abide in Christ or you're going to be cast into the fire. Abide means remain. John chapter 15, verse 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3 through 5, before we get on into some other buzzwords and close this one down. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3 through 5. I want you to really become familiar with this passage because it's going to be a cornerstone passage for your discernment. And it touches on withdrawing yourself from those, at the end of this three-verse passage, that attribute gain in this earthly life to godliness. Now, I want you to read this passage and all passages in the Bible, in the King James Bible, beloved, and why? You say, well, brother, why would you say that? Well, there's a lot of reasons. That's not our topic today, but you can go to the Bible versions issue category drop-down menu on the right side of safeguardyoursoul.com, and you might want to shut your mouth, because the truth will shut your mouth if you care enough to look into it. It will level you. If you're still reading one of the fairy tale diabolically corrupted so-called versions of the quote-unquote Holy Bible. I mean, are you that naive? Well, brother, it says Holy Bible on the cover. Is there not a devil? Please. The original enemy of God that changed and perverted and added to his word is the devil, and you think he stopped working in our day? You are quite delusional, my friend. I don't mean to be rude. I'm trying to wake you up, okay? So if you don't read the King James Bible, you will notice in this passage, the warning in the direct divine instruction is removed from Satan's corrupted new version. Let me give you a little hint here. If the end of verse 5 in your so-called Bible does not say, from such withdraw thyself, run for your life, you are reading a satanically corrupted version of the Bible, not the real Bible, which in the English language is the King James Bible. You don't need some dupe that went to seminary to tell you anything different, because God gave you common sense. You don't remove or add to God's word, and that's what they've done. And there it is in your face. By the way, in the King James Bible, you'll notice these words are not in italics, which simply means they weren't added. They're in the original Greek. I've got a Greek interlinear myself. I've checked these out. It's in there. The new versions come from corrupted manuscripts. So listen to 1 Timothy 6, 3 through 5. If any man teach otherwise, not according to the doctrine of Christ, and consent, not according to the teachings Christ gave us and his apostles, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is what? He's proud. He knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, evil guessings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth. Watch this. Supposing that gain, earthly gain, is godliness, so it's equivalent to godliness, from such withdraw thyself. Now, that's exactly what the word of faith dupes are teaching, that if you don't have a lot of money and a lot of nice cars and a plane and a big house, then you're not godly. That's how far they've gone in attributing so-called blessings of God to earthly wealth. Ridiculous, completely contrary to the teachings of Christ and his apostles. Have these guys ever read the Gospels? Yeah, but it was for their own self-serving purposes. Notice verse 6, the apostle of Jesus, Paul, says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. What is great gain? It has nothing to do with material wealth. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Amen? Verse 7, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, something in your stomach and to clothe and cover your body. Let us be there with content. Big word in the Bible. You're either covetous or you're content. One or the other. Covetous or content. If you're coveting, you're not content. If you're content, you're not coveting. Amen. We have everything. We have Christ. Be content with such things as you have. Hebrews 13, 4 and 5, where he says, he has said he will never leave you or forsake you. You got Jesus, you got everything. Amen. It's a blessed thing, beloved, to stop, saints, today and say, Lord, I just want to thank you for what I already do have. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, I understand we all are praying for things that aren't yet manifested. But why don't we just sit in Daddy's lap today and say, Lord, I just want to tell you that I love you for who you are, and I thank you for everything you provided for me that I already have, Lord, and have to give. I love you, Jesus. Amen. Verse 9, 1 Timothy 6. Now, this is a chapter that they're never going to take you to, these wolves, these greedy, devilish wolves. But they that will be rich, notice those that will be rich, not those that are rich. He says those that are trying to get rich in this world, which is all of the people sitting under circus clowns like Joel Osteen and all of these Word of Faith wolves, Kenneth Copeland, etc. But they that will be rich, those that desire to be rich, fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lust, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Here is another buzzword. See if you haven't heard this a million times. Destiny! I want to fulfill my destiny and my purpose, you know, purpose-driven life by one of the most antichrist wolves that ever existed, Rick Warren. Oh, goodness, we got a lot on him. Just put in Rick Warren or Warren, W-A-R-R-E-N, in the search box on safeguardyoursoul.com. Put your seatbelt on. The man is a Vatican plant, and he's trying to bring Islam and Christianity together, which is unthinkable. Destiny, purpose, you know. These are other buzzwords used by modern wolves. What does it mean? What do they mean by destiny? What is their definition? What is it crouched in their theology? Or demonology, more like. What do they specifically mean when they use this word? You see, so many seek their own vision and destiny, and they even use or misuse a verse out of Proverbs. Notice in Proverbs 29, verse 18. Tell me if you hadn't heard this verse used, or should I say misused. For where there is no vision, the people perish. They stop right there. Most of us don't even know that's only half the verse or less. Where there is no vision, the people perish. So get your own vision and vision, you know, get a mental picture of this or that. You know, it's always attributed to earthly success. Notice the second half of the verse. But he that keepeth the law, the word of God, happy is he. So God connects and associates vision with the word, keeping the word of God. So your vision has to come from the word of God. Amen. There are some people that are excited about going on a vacation. They're excited about getting this new car, this new house, this new furniture, whatever. whatever material thing are becoming wealthy in this world, but they're not excited about the things of Christ, loving your neighbor, learning to die to self and be raised up in the daily cross and resurrection of Christ, death, burial, and resurrection every day, the gospel reenacted in your life. They're not excited about loving their neighbors themselves and preferring all others above themselves. They're not excited about winning, being used of God to win anybody to Jesus or see believers baptized with the Holy Ghost. They're not excited about any of that. They're all about self, you see. So they've taken vision out of context, you see. That's what the wolves have led them to do. And that's why most of us that are listening to this, God forbid, but it's true, don't even know the whole verse here, which says Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, the word, happy is he. Amen? So many seek their own vision and destiny. There is no cross in it, beloved. If it's not the cross, it's not Christianity. It's false. The Bible says, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh and the effect with their affections and lust. Galatians 5:24. We already read Colossians 3:3 earlier. You are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. You're never going to be free until you're willing to die. God's not going to raise you up unless you lay down your life and become dead and buried. Amen. This is the crossless gospel. These are the enemies of the cross of Christ who buy into and those who perpetrate these lies. Jesus was fully submitted to his Father, whereas most who use these buzzwords and terms today are not also preaching the essential cross, the crucified life. They refuse to. See, they're full of self, and their end will be eternal destruction. They're going to hell as sure as you're breathing. These who chase destiny, their miss and purpose are missing the cross. See, because they've divorced destiny and purpose from the Word and the cross of Christ. They're missing the cross, which is central to the gospel, beloved. Running around trying to fulfill our own destiny and accomplish our own purpose is not of God. Laying down our lives, death and burial, assures us that God, not us, is leading and raising us up to do his will. Amen. If you will die, lay down your life by the help of the Spirit and the consenting of your own will, crying out with Jesus to the Father today, not my will be done, but yours be done. I am dead and my life is hid with Christ and God. Jesus, who is the resurrection and the life, is going to raise you up. And you're going to wonder why you didn't get it and grab it, blab and grab the cross a lot earlier in your Christian life, and you will regret it. But it's a great thing, friend. Today is the first day of the rest of your life, and Jesus is calling you to die to self, to deny yourself, not esteem and do your own bidding, but die to yourself, release your will to him, and say, not my will, but thine be done. Amen. Jesus came to die and sent us to die to self, and if we don't, we are not following him. Luke 9:23-24, seeking our own destiny and purpose is the antithesis of dying. It's completely self-serving. Here's a few more as we close here. Buzzwords that we hear in the modern church with little or no use of scripture references or scripture at all counterfeit men in leadership positions. Today in the modern church, major in the connecting point. You ever hear that in these modern church businesses? Or life groups or recovery gimmicks to get folks to become loyal to their programs and the social club they call church. Wow. They use new terminology for a deceived generation of biblically illiterate souls. It's the light generation, or the Christianity light, L-I-T-E or L-I-G-H, whatever. Lightweights, moral cowards, never suffered a day in their life. They're smooth-handed. They don't know how to roll up their sleeves, lay down their life, roll up their sleeves, and go to work for Jesus. Amen? They want everything now. They don't want to suffer or have to wait or seek the Lord in his process of stripping us and according to his terms. So these scam pastors have stepped right in and catered to all of this, these unrepentant hearts, amen, who are heaping to themselves these false teachers because they have the itching ears. 2 Timothy 4:3, these business owner CEOs, if you will, these so-called pastors, don't desire or bother with being righteous in the eyes of God, but rather relevant, oh, there's another buzz term, relevant, to those they wish to have patronized their quote-unquote ministry. From church to church, it's the same old lie in the modern church with a slight slightly different colored wrap. Their uniqueness lies only in the flavor, the thin veneer of covering the deception. But the discerning disciple of Christ, he will frequent a place like that or listen to some wolf on the internet and go, "Where's the cross? Where is the cross?" Always ask that question. And like the Bereans, search the scriptures daily to see whether or not that man is preaching the original gospel. But how are you going to know, beloved, if he's preaching the original gospel if you don't study the original gospel and memorize it, meditate on it from the King James Bible? You're not going to know what he's leaving out if you don't know the contents yourself. We got a new book coming out called The Original Gospel. I want you to get a copy of it, and it will be loaded with scripture and help you discern. It's the same old lies of the enemies in a new round. Mapping. These life teams, life coach, life partner, accountability partner, these are also buzz terms utilized by these scam false pastors and leaders who resemble motivational speakers more than true men of God who declare the pure, unadulterated, living Word of God. Let me finish with this. 2 Timothy chapter 4, beloved. I know some of you think, "Man, this dude is mean." Not really, man. We just need to get the word, brother, and grab it, sister, and obey God. Amen. Not going to be any excuses in the end. 2 Timothy 4:2-4. Preach what? Preach the word, only the word. And by the way, that's not these new Bible versions. It's the King James Bible. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come, he's warning us, when they will not endure, that means hold themselves accountable to, sound doctrine, Holy Scripture, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, because what? They have the itching ears. And that's why the false prophets today are so rich in this world. And those telling the truth are barely getting along, if at all. Because there's so many who have run to these people that are telling them what they want to hear, instead of commanding them by divine authority, by the Word of God, to die to self, to lay down their life. Verse 4, that's the final verse of this passage we're going to read. "And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables," or stories. See, that's another thing they're doing. They're telling stories to the people, getting them to laugh and stuff like that, instead of just preaching the Holy Scriptures. God bless you, friend. Thank you for listening. And again, I want to encourage you and invite you to avail yourself to the scripture-rich cross resources on safeguardyoursoul.com, and also share it with a friend. God bless you, friend. Thank you for listening.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen.